to turn to Daniel chapter 4, and let's stand, please. Daniel chapter 4. Let's stand as we'll honor the reading of God's Word this morning. I want you to take that Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 28 and read to the end of the chapter. I started a series a couple of Sunday mornings ago entitled, Our God is Able. Amen. Today I'm going to conclude that service, that series in this morning's service. I preached the message, first of all, God is able to save and to destroy. And then I preached that our God is able to deliver. And then last Sunday morning I preached God is able to give more than you give up. And then last Sunday night I preached God is able to give sufficient grace. And then I preached, am going to preach today rather, God is able to humble the proud. And we're going to see a good picture of this, but don't just say, oh boy, Nebuchadnezzar, he needed this. We may find out we need it. All right, let's begin reading at verse number 28 this morning. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? When a fellow gets to talking like that, you know he's heading for trouble. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. Here we go. And those that walk in pride, he is, there's that word, church, able to abase. God is able to humble the proud. Let's bow our hand, close our eyes. Brother Dan, would you pray for this message and everybody can be seated. Yes. Amen. Yes.
Anyone here today that is lost, God, we deal with that.
Yes.
The Lord sees you need to be saved.
Yes, Lord.
God, we ask that you to pray for the dentist, God, empower him, use him. And Lord, we ask, Father, you help him say what needs to be said.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, just to be obedient to you.
Yes.
Father, bless. Lord, meet with us today in a special way.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice here in this passage that King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has a tremendous change of mind. Remember, he led the Babylonians to come in, and they came in and they besieged and they destroyed Jerusalem. He took many of the Jews back to Babylon into exile, one of which was Daniel. Now, Daniel had already warned Nebuchadnezzar to turn from his wickedness. But Nebuchadnezzar was a very prideful, stubborn man, and he would not turn from his wickedness. So one day Nebuchadnezzar walks into his palace and he says, look at what all I've done. Look here, boys. Look at all this. Man, I'm something. I'm really something. And then he was something because God turned him into something else. He turned them into a beast. And he's out there in the pasture grazing like a cow for 7 years. The medical term for that is lycanthropy. That's the medical or clinical name for it, for this malady. The Bible term for it is the judgment of God. That's what it is. We have his testimony in this passage after he comes back to his senses. He says basically this. He says, God is in control of everything and I'm not. Boy, it took some rough circumstances for him to figure that out, didn't it? He said, the praise goes to the King of heaven, not me. Oh, and one more thing. If you're a fellow that walks in pride, God is able to knock you down. He says, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Matthew 23:12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now listen to me very well this morning. I have seen this multiple times in my life over the years. Multiple times. I've seen a young, strong man that never thought that he would have anything he couldn't face lose his strength through a sickness. I've seen some people walk in what I would call very severe pride. And folks that will say, I don't need nothing from nobody, and I don't want nothing from nobody, I can't get on my own, and I'm big, and I'm strong, and I'm a self-made man, and I pulled myself up out of the mire, and I did all this, I did that, look at what I've done, look here, and I don't need no help, and I don't need no sympathy, I don't need any pity, man, look at what I can do, look at me go. And God put that man down, and he's just a shell of himself. And I've seen them by the dozens in my ministry. God knows how to get your attention. God can humble you. I've seen people just on top of the world and they wouldn't give God a second thought. And they said, look at what I'm doing. And one sick youngin that they can't figure out what's the matter with them, bring them down. Down. I've seen it repeatedly in my life. Loss of job on top of the world. Man, I've got this, I've got that. I'm at the top of my career. Boom. Out. Out. Lose everything. File bankruptcy. I've seen it over and over, man. I'm on top of the world. Look at this ministry. Look at all the people I got. I'm on TV. I'm on the radio. Out. Out. No good for God. No good for his family. No good for nothing. I've seen it over and over. I just can't even tell you the number of times I've seen it. Oh, I'm sufficient. I can do this. I can do that. Nervous breakdown. Here you go. By the way, I can tell you this. A nervous breakdown will bring some humility in your life. You don't want to have to go there to find out. Man, I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen these cheerleaders when you were in school, you know. Yeah, yeah, yay. And little pom-poms and short skirts. I don't know how in the world you can think that's right with God. I know some of you ain't going to amen that. Bless God, if you want your 15- and 16-year-old girl be thrown up in the air showing her bloomers and shaking the rock music at the halftime dance while 30- and 40-year-old perverts are looking at her, there's something wrong with you. Amen. 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 I'll amen myself if you won't amen me. Amen. I've seen it, boy. I was in high school. I played on the team where the cheerleaders sit by themselves and they just so beautiful and so pretty and untouchable. Get to be an adult and she weighs 350 pounds. I've seen it. Not so high and mighty no more. Don't mind speaking to the old heavy bishop now since you're heavy too. Bankruptcy for the young entrepreneur. Boxers get up. Man, I used to, you know, I'm sorry. I have to admit it to you. Pray for me. I love boxing. I like to watch people box. Me and my daddy used to. I've watched it since I was young. I don't really watch it no more because it's not like it used to be. But I love boxing. But the thing about boxing is all them people get up. How many have you ever seen like a championship fight and they're interviewing a fella saying, man, I'm going to knock you out. He ain't even in my league. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm so bad. I'm so tough. You just wait. I'm going to show you I'm the best boxer in the world. He don't last 2 minutes. They knocking him out. He's got that look and he's like, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You run your mouth and he knocked you out. That's what happened. Maybe if you'd been a little bit more humble, you might have lasted past one round. How many times have I seen players get dumped by another player. I'm not talking about on a team. I've seen that before. You're a player. You know what a player is. I'm going to have all the women I want, all the men I want, and I'm just going to use them up and go to somebody else and break their heart. Someday, somebody's going to break your heart. You puffed up, man. And by the way, the Bible has several names for it. I can't even use all the words, all the scriptures that's contained in the Bible about pride. There's just so many. I had a difficult time when preparing for this message, trying to figure out which ones I wanted to use because there's so many. You see the word pride in the Bible. You see the word proud, haughty, puffed up. As a matter of fact, when you read Proverbs chapter 6, in that chapter, God tells you there's seven things that He hates. Six things He hates, seven are an abomination to Him. Do you know what's the first on that list? A proud look. That's the first thing on that list that He hates. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. We are supposed to hate it. God hates it. We ought to hate it. That's the things that cause us to sin, the three temptations, 1 John 2:16, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, when I talk about pride, what am I talking about? That's having a feeling of being good or worthy. By the way, the Bible says none of us are good. There's none good, no, not one. Only Christ is good. And our worth comes in Christ, not in ourselves. It's having arrogance, overconfidence, self-willed, disdain for others because you believe you're so much better than them. The definition of proud, having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of one's own self, of one's own importance. You're pompous. Now listen to me and listen well. Those, all of us in here, if you be honest, all of us in here struggle with pride. And I don't even understand why I still struggle with it. I really don't. I mean, I don't, but I do. Sometimes I look in the mirror, I get up and I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I say, boy, you are some kind of sucker, man. How can somebody look in the mirror and see what you're seeing and still struggle with pride? But we do. So I know this is an ongoing battle for all of us. I understand this. But boy, you better get a hold of this. Listen, you better get a hold of this. Because those that are puffed up and prideful, that Bible says God is able to abase them. He's able to bring them down. Now I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, and what I've looked at over the years and looked at in the scripture, in my opinion, 10 quick things about pride, and that'll be the message here this morning. 10 quick things that you might need to know about pride, and give you some scriptures, and let's get to thinking about this when we leave here this morning. This is a serious issue. I'm going to show you that how pride really hurts a lot of things, and it affects a lot of things, and I want you to see that. Give you these 10 things about pride, and that'll be the message. Number one, probably more people in hell today because of pride than anything else. Did you know that? Probably the number one reason why people are in hell is because of pride. Luke 1:51, He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. By the way, that's where pride starts. It gets in your heart. It may start in your mind. You start thinking you're better and you're adequate and you can do this and you can do that. And you have disdain for other people that are weak in your eyes. Well, let me tell you something. There's coming a day when God's going to make you weak. There's coming a day when something's coming in your life that you can't stop and you can't control and you can't fix. You need to realize that. But I'm telling you, people, I believe there's more people in hell. There's more people in hell because of pride than anything else. Just good old stubborn pride. I've heard people say that. I've tried to witness the older people. And they say, well, preacher, you know, I've just been this way all my life and I'm just stubborn. Are you going to be so stubborn that you're willing to say, I'm just so old and I'm just set in my ways and I'm so stubborn, I'll just die in my sins and go straight to hell? That's exactly what you'll do. That's exactly what you'll do. How many people have you ever witnessed to? Do you know maybe a family member? Maybe a friend, and you say, Brother Dennis, I hope not, but it looks like to me they're in hell right now, and I try to witness to them, I know other people try to witness to them, and they were just so stubborn and so prideful, they never would listen to me. Lift your hand in the air. You know why? They're probably somewhere under our feet right here this morning, thousands of miles down in the middle of the earth somewhere, they're burning. and their pride put them there. I hope nobody in here die and go to hell because of your stinking pride. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. Job 41:34, talking about Leviathan, which is the devil. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. The devil is your king if you're a child of pride. And you know where the devil's going to wind up? You're going to wind up right there with him if you let that pride keep you from receiving Christ. You're going to wind up right there with him. Number two, I think pride is probably the worst sin of all. I know what you've been taught, that some sins ain't worse than others and all sins the same. That's not Bible. That is 100% not Bible. Sins are different and some sins are worse than other sins. They are. But I believe probably the worst sin of all, if you're going to categorize and say, what is the worst sin of all? The worst sin of all is pride. And one way I probably can prove that is when you look at King David in his life. He did some of the worst things you could do. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice for murder and there was no sacrifice for adultery. He should have been stoned and put into hell. Now, he had the sure mercies of David, which is a type of what we get in the church age. Thank God for it. But let me tell you something. One thing I know about David, you say, boy, David was a scoundrel. He was going to kill Abigail's husband for no reason. And he numbered Israel, and he shouldn't have done that. And he had Uriah killed him. He committed adultery. Boy, he was a good repenter. He was a humble man. He might have had great sin, but he had great humility. Now, why do you think God would be so big on David with that kind of sin in his life? It must mean that in God's eyes, listen, I'm not condoning sin. I'm not trying to excuse sin. You're going to pay for any sin. But it must mean in God's eyes that if you're a humble fella, he'll have much more grace and mercy on you in dealing with you with your sin than he will if you're puffed up. I've seen God be very merciful to me. He ought to just crack my head, man. He ought to judge me by some of the things I said and done. But when I was confronted with it, when he confronted it to me in the Bible or a preacher, I said, yeah, God, that man's right and that book's right and I'm wrong. Have mercy on me. And God has had mercy on me. And he'll have mercy on you. I believe pride is the worst sin of all. I read this verse to you, Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God said, I'm going to punish you. He said, if you're proud in heart, you, not what you do, he said, you are an abomination to him. That's what God thinks about pride. You got a proud heart, you're an abomination to me. You think this issue of pride is serious with God? It's very serious. It's the reason the devil fell. You go back and read over there in Isaiah chapter 14. He's beautiful. He's got the instruments inside of him. That's why you have so much trouble with music. J. Vernon McGee said when the devil was cast out of heaven, he fell right into the choir loft. Amen. Probably some truth to that. Musicians are temperamental, aren't they? I'm even like that. I'm not even a musician. But I get like that. I'm like, man, if you can't sing, don't be asking to sing no special. And people say, well, the Bible says make a joyful noise. Yeah, but that ain't a joyful noise. Hey, listen, man, God didn't call everybody to sing a special. Amen? Quickly, let's go on. Listen, pride, you know what pride will do? Pride will destroy you. Proverbs 16:18. Here's a familiar verse most of you know. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. It destroys marriages. It destroys families. It destroys churches. It destroys ministries, and it destroys a nation. This nation is so puffed up. That's why God can't do anything with it. Everybody's got everything. They think, I'm not, just like that church over there, that Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, I have need of nothing. And God's saying, you stupid, prideful fool. You don't know that you're blind, wretched, and naked. That's what's wrong with us. We are so puffed up, we don't even see our need. And the worst thing about it is I'm part of the problem. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. And again, when I look at myself and all my inconsistencies and my ticks and problems and things I went through, I sit down sometimes and I say, man, if there's ever a fella that ought not have an ounce of pride in him that's been kicked and knocked down and stomped down and proven that you're about an absolute zero, it ought to be you, Dennis. And still I feel it welling up inside of me at times. What you reckon that is? That flesh is wicked. It's prideful. It's a terrible thing. Not only, number three, does pride destroy. Number four, pride ensures that God will not use you. Pride ensures that God will not use you no matter what your gifts or abilities or callings are. James 4:6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Listen, you know what that thing says? Now think about this. It says if you're proud, God, it doesn't say that God won't fool with you. It says he resists you. That means that if I'm trying to walk toward God and I'm puffed up in my heart, what's he doing? Don't approach me. Get down. Get down. Then you can get up and approach me. If you're puffed up, he says, I gave you those gifts. I gave you that opportunity. I gave you that calling. I equipped you. I brought you out of the mire. I put you there. And you're going to get puffed up against me. Get away. Get away. I ain't got time for you. Preacher man. There's some older woman here in the church. She ain't never preached nothing. She'll never preach a message. I didn't call her to preach. I'm going to meet with her. I'm much more concerned about her. I don't need you. I'll kill you tonight. I could kill you tonight, preacher, and put some 10 more in there better than you. I get sick and tired of all these preachers that get so puffed up, especially independent Baptist preachers. They're some of the worst going around telling everybody what to do. But like some kind of a cult in the church where everybody's just supposed to lick your boots and you just run everybody's lives. Like some kind of stinking Napoleon in the pulpit. God didn't call you to manage people's lives. Lording over God's heritage. Just puffed up. God ain't fooling with you. You hear me? He ain't fooling with you. He'll resist you. I'll tell you something else about pride. Pride will make you act like a fool. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. You know why people are? I've seen people get all puffed up and just want to be right for the sake of being right. I've seen people argue and fuss and cuss and won't admit they're wrong and won't say they're sorry. Act like idiots. Why? Pride. Which leads me into my next point. Pride makes you argumentative. Proverbs 28:15, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Everybody listen to me now, bless God. You listen to me. You know why people start junk in a church? You know why people stir up strife in a church? You know why people run their mouth in a church? They got a heart full of pride. Every time you see somebody causing trouble in a church, they're puffed up. That's their problem. Every single time you and your wife argue, it's because of pride. You say, I don't believe that. Hold on, I'm fixing to show you a Bible that proves it without a doubt. Every time you and your wife fuss, either it's because you got pride, or she's got pride, or both of you's got pride. You say, I don't believe it. Well, here we go. Proverbs 13:10, only one reason. Only by pride cometh contention. King James Bible settled it, didn't it? It takes two to argue. But when both of you are dead set on being right, it can't be resolved. When you can't say you're sorry and you can't say you're wrong, I know right off the bat you got a problem, ma'am. You got a problem, sir. I don't care how much you read your Bible and how you don't never miss church and how much you pray and I come to all the meetings and I put a good chunk in the offering plate today. Ma'am, sir, you got a problem. If you never say I'm sorry and you never say I'm wrong, don't you kid yourself. God's up there in heaven saying, I don't want your service. Your service don't mean nothing to me. Get back! I want you to fix that puffed up heart and that swollen head of yours. And if you keep on, God's going to come along with a pen one day and pop it. Some of you be walking around like this. How do you know, preacher? Well, I've had my head. I know all about it. A few more. Pride will prohibit you from improving or learning. You cannot improve in anything and you cannot learn anymore in any area if you've got pride. Listen, you can't learn if you already know everything. And you cannot improve if you're perfect. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You're not going after God. You're not going to try to get better. You're so puffed up, you think you're already all right. I'm God's gift to the ministry. Man, if this church didn't have me, I don't know what they'd do. Maybe flourish. Let me tell you something. It is a privilege to be used by God. And God will every one of us, whether you're a preacher or not, you will have your Alabama breakdown experience, front porch sipping coffee and praying experience, get the doctor's report experience, or whatever. It's coming. But I'm telling you, nobody can move on until you've had the slats knocked out from under you. Until things have been taken away. It could be something like you've been preaching and having no trouble remembering stuff, no trouble going up in the pulpit now with pages of notes, and you used to sit in your study and study that stuff and remember it and just get up there and spit it out like a machine gun. But now what you're being treated for and what you have, you got ticks and your mouth's doing this and you can't get the thing out and you're having to wear stupid Jim Jones glasses. And when you're at the point in your life where you have finally learned something, you ought to be able to do it the best you've ever been able to do it. Now you can't. Now you reckon what that is? I know what it is. God said, I don't want your ability to help that church. Preaching ability ain't what's going to help this church. My spirit will help this church. As long as your ability's still out there doing pretty good. Get out. I don't need Dennis Knowles. I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need you. Give me somebody that will lift me up. Give me somebody that will walk in my power. He'll do way more with that. Listen, real stuff, not this fake stuff that you think is spiritual. Real, he'll do way more real stuff with a man like that than he ever will with the most talented. But the problem is he knows he's talented. He knows he's talented. And when you know you're talented, you can't improve. I've seen it over and over and over. Just a few more. Pride will deceive you and you think you're better than you really are. Galatians 6:3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Some people think pretty highly of themselves, don't they? Some people think, man, I've got it. I used to think that when I was a younger preacher. Do you know I've been through my Bible more times now than I've ever been? I've studied more commentaries now than I ever have. I've done more Bible studies, looked up more stuff. Much study has made me mad. I've just took it in, did it rightly divided. What did this fella say? Oh, God, what do you say? Read all this. You know what I've come up to the conclusion of right now, standing here before you. Next birthday, I'll be 50 years old, been pastoring 26 years. I feel like I know less now than I ever have. That's what all my education and studying and all I come up with. What do you think that is? Boy, when you're puffed up, everything's a lot more black and white sometimes. Till you've been lowered down a little bit. Somebody come along and run over you every once in a while. Put you in the ground. Have some compassion for somebody. Quit looking at somebody and saying, it's black and white. Listen, don't you get me wrong. That scripture is black and white. Where it says something, you know me. I'm sticking with it over you or anybody else, but you know what I'm talking about. All these other areas when there isn't a specific teaching or scripture for, and you just look at a situation and you just judge how weak they are and how unspiritual they are, and they should be more like you. I got you because I used to be that man. Ma'am. Sir, God's going to put you down low. God's going to put you down low. He's going to put you down low. And it's coming soon to a heart near you. You get deceived about yourself. You think you're something when you're nothing. And finally, I want to say this morning. As this story tells us, God will humble those who do not humble themselves. You just remember what Nebuchadnezzar said when he walks in there. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He can knock it right out of you. You know, I have a saying that I say a lot of times. I come up with it a few years ago and I say it. Somebody will say this happened or that happened or something happened to me, and I'll get to thinking about it and I'll say, well, you know, anything that humbles you is good for you. And it really is. He said, boy, that was embarrassing. Boy, that hurt. Boy, that was tough. Yeah. But I tell you what, if it humbled you, if it genuinely humbled you, it was good for you. Whatever it was. You, with the help of the Lord, are able to humble yourself. Did you realize that this morning? A couple of verses, James 4:10, he tells you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you'll humble yourself, again, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He'll do it. Now listen, this is my prayer for this whole church here this morning. May we all approach God this morning in humility, pleading to God for humility. Every head bowed and eye closed.